Actually, I think we would like to stay in the new in the user side of the topic, not really in the technical side, because it looks like technical side is figured out pretty well, but the user side, the public health and clinical side, needs a lot of work that I would like just to talk to you about, as well as share with you. Okay. At least I also figure out the buttons. Some thoughts that a group of us, in fact, I will present, will be presenting on behalf of. And here, you could see that this is a quite extensive group. I would like just to introduce those of my co-authors who are right now here in the room, basically delivering these presentations together. So Vicky Honor is our member of the project team. Julie Gunn from Boston Public Health Commission is a member of the business case development team. Dr. Nomartz is another member of our project team. And Marcy Percosa and Alan Underwood just come in. They are also in the business case development team. Sean Grannis on the back here in the room, and he is a member of our business case review team. And I also would like to introduce you to Sasha Girde. He is here, who is a PhD SC staff person who worked with us on this project. What is the difference between these three groups of people? I will tell you in a minute. But another acknowledgement that I would like to make in this talk, at the beginning of this talk, is that this work has been conducted under the CDC five-year cooperative agreement, SURE HIT Standards for Public Health, that started in June 2008. The goal of this cooperative agreement is just to represent public health interests in the national HIT standardization process. And we're very happy that CDC decided to support us in this endeavor. The document that I'm presenting today has not been going through the official CDC review. We have a disclaimer here in the document, so this presentation has not been also approved by CDC, and I'm just presenting it just on behalf of our project team. So in year one of this project, which is just we finished in May of 2009, we developed this business case document. We developed it in the way of seeking input from those who we call in business case development expert team. We organized a meeting of stakeholders in public health, clinical care, vendors participated in this meeting, as well as academicians, to seek their input in understanding what are the current status of public health participation in the national HIT standardization, what are the challenges, if any, and how we're going to overcome those challenges that, in fact, we identified. So the reviewers then later participated in the review of this document together with the members of the PhDSC Data Standards Committee, which is an oversight committee of the PhDSC Public Health Data Standards Consortium in carrying out this project. In year two, right now, we are working on the development of web-based interactive model on the business case implementation. I'm not going to talk about this model, because our main focus will be on our business case, and officially we would like to view this day-to-day as official release of this business case. And it's very important for us right now also to present it to you, because this is the first time we're presenting it to the broader public health audience. Your comments and critique is greatly appreciated. So, the objectives that we have for us in developing the business case were is to define the role of public health in the national HIT standardization process, help business building understanding across public health community about this role and the need for local and state public health agencies' participation in the national activities, and figure out and describe the strategy of how this can be accomplished. Why are we talking about standards? Probably still a question for this audience, But let me show you something that probably answers this question very well. That's a State Health Department organizational chart. I wanted to tell you that each line that you see here under these boxes below is individual public health program that we are running. Not we, but that health department. This is a real chart of one of the health departments. And majority, the overwhelming majority of all these lines has program-specific information systems that support program needs of that particular program. And we have information systems today that supports the program-specific needs, but we cannot exchange data across the programs and across public health agencies. I think the whole meeting here was about interoperability, so that just preaching to the choir, but I just would like to explain what was the rationale why we just even started with this business case. So what do we think needs to be, we need to be prepared in public health for? I think we need to be prepared to be part of this thing, which is called Nationwide Health Information Network. And I'm not sure that this is a nationally approved slide, because this is, in fact, the concept of secondary malignant neoplastic disease that I got from natural language processing from Dr. Peter Elkin at Mayo Clinic. But to me, it speaks to how we can visualize this effort that we're all engaged in. And this is another picture from the same source, Peter Elkin, Mayo Clinic natural language processing tool, which shows that these regional health information exchanges would be the bones or nodes that will be connected, and we one day will be seeing each other as one of those dots or those dots, whatever they are. So we're doing this all in order to generate pictures like this. And this is the vision for public health surveillance for blood lead registries. Today, despite of what 25 years of having states' blood lead registries, we cannot easily generate a picture like this. So this is what we're trying to accomplish in building this standardized information exchanges across our programs. What would it take us to go where we should be in 2014? What we can bring today to the table, what do we have? We have extensive experience in developing standards. Though if you could see from the program of this conference, our main focus was on defining data standards, data sets, data contents, and the messaging standards. We are just trying to figure out what HL7 version to use, 2.3 or 2.5, as national organizations are demanding us to do now. We were heavily involved in the program-specific approach in developing our standards. So we have right now standards for immunization, for vital statistics, for infectious disease, occupational health, you name it. In some cases, when we don't have leadership of these particular programs in developing standards, jurisdictions take on that leadership role, and they develop jurisdiction-specific standards. And what's mostly important for this particular topic on the role of state and local public health in the national IT standardization, that in the previous years, the top-down approach was prevailed in the development of standards when federal agencies led the development of these program-specific standards. And I don't want to repeat myself, but that's where we are right now up to. I think the past 4 years, we've been really forced into the national HIT standardization process, made us realize that we don't know much about world of standards and the standardization process itself. We always see standards as a product, forgetting about that this is in fact the process. It will be also very important for us to participate in this process if we would like to make sure that our needs are met. And what's most critical, and it's surfacing again and again, we need to figure out how to enable bottom-up approach so that interests of state and local public health agencies are represented in the standards that will be deployed in their health information exchanges at the local and regional levels. Let's learn a little bit about the world of standards, not just to give you the standards 101, but just to show you another way of what we have to work with. In 2006, HITSPE, and HITSPE's Health Information Technology Standards Panel, came up with this list of standards categories. And we learned then that in addition to data standards and messaging standards, there are also information content standards. There are identifier standards. There are privacy and security standards. And more importantly, there are also a functional standards. That surfaced very, that was very new thing, like discovery for the rest of us when IT people who were participating in HITSPE came up with this standard category. What does it mean for us when we're exchanging the data? Let me show you what does it mean for this phrase, which is from the National Biosurveillance Use Case, transmit essential data from electronically enabled healthcare to authorized public health agencies in real time. Those of you who are familiar with the National Biosurveillance Use Case just would like to emphasize that in this use case, we're transmitting 40 data elements. It will take 28 data standards, 17 information content standards, 46 information exchange standards, 11 identifier standards, 5 privacy and security standards to carry out the transmission of 40 data elements defined in the National Biosurveillance Minimum Data Set. Okay. Standardization process also happened to be not that easy. We talked, we're just developing standards and we're done with them. That's how we did it in the past. Right now, we are facing the situation that, in fact, administration, Bush administration, President Bush administration, and right now President Obama administration, in fact, want to focus on the identifying needs and priorities for standards. Then it goes in the standard development process and maintenance. Then it goes into harmonization process, because various standard development organizations may develop them in their own ways. Then it's going into certification. But what's importantly, it's actually one day has to be deployed. That also was novel theme. And that's all these entities that surfaced to carry out those activities. So American Health Information Community that existed with the previous administration that has been replaced by the Policy Committee and HIT Standards Committee. There are numerous of standard development organizations, and I will show you the slide describing many of them later, but I just selected those that probably resonate well with this audience, which is HL7, LONC, and AICHI. There are standard harmonization activities that are done by HITSPE. There are certification activities that are done by CCHIT, and there is standard adoption. Stand for US as well as for us, users. This is a graph, the table from the business case document, which shows you the landscape of the standardization activities. But more importantly, it brings you into this layer. Each of these standardization entities, they're developing different technical documents on standards, such as use cases, standards, interoperability specification, integration profile, you name it. How we are represented right now in all these entities that I listed above? Here's the picture. We have zero public health organizations participated in the National HIT Standards Committee. We have two organizations participating in the Policy Committee. We're doing very well at HITSPE and HL7 if you consider that 40% participation in HL7 is a good representation of public health. We're not doing that well at CCHIT, Certification Committee. And overall, we have the number of 69 organizations that outnumbered tremendously by the number of other organizations, other stakeholders participating in the national activities. That's probably another way to visualize it. We're here in this red slices, and it's getting thinner and thinner and thinner and thinner. Why? Why we are not outnumbering vendors in standard development process, which is done for us to help us to exchange our data? At this health information technology stakeholder meeting that we held in November, and there are participants here in the room, we identified four main challenges with participation. The main one, we really don't know that we have to participate. And when we know about this, we really don't know where we should participate to make the biggest impact. Assuming we know where to participate and where we can make an impact, state and local agencies has a limited ability to participate for two reasons. They're not allowed to travel to the meetings, and they serve interest of particular jurisdictions, not the national level issues that are addressed at the organizations that I listed above. Those of us who actually ended to be at these meetings may lack technical skills and informatics skills just to enable us to participate, and it's becoming so overwhelming that people may leave the meetings feeling that they are lost in the discussions. And lastly, of course, a lack of funding. Little funding to get to these meetings. Where we have to participate, where we're going to make the main impact. Let me ask you a different question. What standard development group we can afford not to participate? Identify here a group that we feel public health interest should not be represented. And we would be puzzled with these questions. So we have to be everywhere. Who are we? When we're going there, they are reviewing, they're giving us to review or inviting us to work. They means IT vendors and other stakeholders who participate in the standardization activities. On all these different documents that they're generating, this is how the language they speak. They speak in the diagrams. And we have to be able to review all these technical frameworks, interoperability specifications, requirement specifications, you name it, stuff, all on the top of the daily work that you are doing right now in the health department dealing with H1N1. And finally, it's the cost. One thing we learn participating in the national standardization activities, unfortunately, we cannot just send observers to these meetings. People who participate and represent public health need to be at the senior level. They have to have a deep understanding of public health, also be on the senior level to speak on behalf of their agency, their program. Because in fact, many of us are asked to speak on behalf of public health in general. Time commitment is the most that is so valuable and critical that we expect you to devote participating in these meetings. And our estimates that it takes up to 30% FTE to participate in the calls, meetings, and document review of just one entity. Travel. Each of these entities that were listed on this table, they run 2 to 4 meetings a year. Usually 3 to 5 days. So all this wrapped together, taking a low salary of the senior level people in the local and state public health department, we came up that for a health department who would like to designate a person right now on the part-time basis to participate in these activities of one entity, it would cost $40,000 per person. We intentionally didn't multiply it by 3,000 local agencies and 50 state, not to just dramatize the picture, but you can do the math. How we can just deal with this situation? Should we deal with it? I believe that people who participated in this stakeholder meeting, who right now came as co-authors of this presentation in the room, would agree with me that we should participate in these efforts. And what we're proposing here today is a strategy that can help maximize the impact of those who participate in the activities, but also inform, educate, and solicit input from those who cannot participate, so that public health interest will be represented. What we're trying to achieve? We're trying to establish the process and participate in the collective, in providing collective input from public health on what public health issues need to be addressed in the national interoperability standards. This input has to be collaboratively developed, put through the standardization process, but more importantly, uniformly implemented afterwards. We call this approach is public health organized voice on HIT standards. We define this voice as an open, transparent, participatory process of harmonizing program-specific and jurisdictional needs with national HIT standardization standards by working with the standardization entities on various phases of standardization. You probably will notice that there is one very important adjective is missing from this thing that you see in all standard development activities. It's called consensus-based. We specifically eliminated consensus-based adjective from this statement because consensus-based means majority rules. And we don't believe that majority rules work in our case because our approach that we would like to propose here is that not a single agency has to be left behind and their specific interests should be represented in the process because this is the only way we can build a robust IT solution that supports public health need at any level of government. And on a technical level, we figure out the approach how the specific granular needs of local participants could be implemented. Right now, we just have to find a way to solicit this need. Our target audience for this business case is the national HIT leadership, the governors, state and local health commissioners, federal agency leadership, leadership of professional associations, and leadership of schools of public health. Don't be surprised that we are not listing here a general public health audience, because you are not the target audience. You are those who would like engage working with us to reach out to the leadership level, emphasizing the need that we have to be at the table as a savvy, informatics skilled, based critical players. We're describing in our use case the reasons why you have to we have to participate, where we should participate, who should participate, and how this participation can be accomplished. And we're defining resources for participation. Why should we participate? Let's leave it like it is right now. We all doing our work. And when we had abnormal situation like at H1N1, we really mobilizing our resources. And right now we have this distributed system that works well in dealing with this epidemic. Should we continue to work in this mode or could we just have an infrastructure in place that would enable us just to run public health services in the effective, efficient, and organized way where we're prepared to meet any emergent epidemics or begin working in the mitigation efforts for those epidemics that can surface in the future? Where should we participate? That's probably the best answer to that question. When we will meet the 50-50% of participants of HL7, which is mainly IT vendors, we probably will be very well represented. And 50% of 503 member organization in HL7s, 250 public health agencies, state and local agencies, out of 3,050, that's not such a big percentage, don't you think? But we already could make a difference. How we actually can do that? And that's what we would like to reach out to the state and local public health agency and national IT leadership to try to define this process. We believe that our state and local agencies have to recognize HIT standardization efforts as a distinct role for senior program staff, senior informatician, or IT professionals with the deep understanding of public health practices in the agency as need to be involved in the process. We have to devote one or more staff members to do this work in the representing agency in HIT standardization activities. We understand that many of our local public health agencies work in the areas where they literally cannot recruit these highly paid IT professionals who could represent them. Maybe in this way, we could see if these activities could be outsourced to expert consultants or organizations that are working right now with IT vendors, but those with the qualifications of deep understanding of public health. The education of us to be equal in these discussions with IT people in the standardization process is very important. And we need to make sure that our public health leadership recognize the need for continuing education of general public health workforce for the agency as well. We have to band together within the region with the other stakeholders who just participate in these activities, also to save cost of participation, so to make sure they may represent the agency interests in the HIT standardization process on the national level. And lastly, we have to leverage membership in public health professional associations that right now carrying out program-specific activities. There is also a need for coordinating all these efforts so that public health would speak with the organized voice on HIT standards. I would like specifically to thank these organizations that you see here on the list, who devoted a lot of time and efforts working on standardizing, developing standards in a particular programmatic domain: immunization, laboratory, epidemiology and disease reporting, cancer, vital statistics, newborn screening, healthcare management. It's because of these organizations and their constituencies, state and local health representatives, we can have today immunization national use case, public health case reporting use case, newborn screening national use case. We believe that there is a distinct need and role for the coordination of these activities among professional associations, among state and local public health agencies, so the public health would speak with this one voice, one coordinated voice in the standardization activities. And the coordination efforts could help us facilitate involvement of those who cannot participate, but still have their voice represented. It will coordinate activities of professional organizations on standard development efforts so that we will break the silos. It will assist local and state public health agencies not only in identifying needs, but in the deployment of the standards. And so forth that you see here, I just would like to focus on this one, educate public health workforce and identify resources. Here's what the reality of today, status of the education on HIT standards and informatics in public health community. There's only one school of public health that offers academic course on HIT standards for users. It's Johns Hopkins Public Health Informatics Program. Without these courses to be developed, and yesterday I learned that this would be some plans put together when the curriculum for public health informatics would be shaped up in the schools of public health, but it will take years to do. We're basically left on our own to go to the standardization efforts and learn from what needs to be those skills that we have to demonstrate. And you know what? To me, participating 1 year in HITSP was much, much better experience in learning what I need to know than finishing 8 years of university where I got my PhD. Though it was in Russia, maybe here they just teach more effectively. But that's the reality, you know? Learn through participation. There's no other way you can get information right now or just make yourself standard savvy. To help you a little bit in this process, the Public Health Data Standard Consortium just launched this educational informational module on HIT standards that describes the different standardization processes, categories, and other activities that could be of your resource when you go into these meetings. I'm inviting you to join this effort to launch our campaign on coordinating public health actions in national HIT standards. And I want to finish with this. Before Dr. Blumenthal became our national coordinator, he wrote this in one of his white papers. Coordinated collective action is required at almost every level of healthcare system to realize the full benefits of health IT. This makes it unlikely that individual sectors pursuing their own self-interest would be able to take the full advantage of health IT. The importance of collective action is most apparent in securing effective communication, so-called interoperability, across providers of cares in the United States. You could refer your questions to him as well. Thank you very much for your attention, and I hope you could support our efforts.